Matthew's Gospel 28 and verse 18 to 20, then open to Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How to nurture effective relationships. Now, I said this in the first service, that while, you know, every time you prepare a teaching, even though you know the scriptures say you should teach doctrine, sometimes you just listen to your heart. I mean, follow your spirit. In praying, I knew the Lord. I intended to go around marital relationships, basically, and then pre-marital relationships and all of that. But as I began prayer, I sensed the Lord saying, talk generally about relationships. Because oftentimes, you know, I said that in the first service, that there are some things about marriage seminars. And I'm not a real fan of it, in as much as there's nothing wrong in it. If it's needed, you do it. But I think believers generally need to learn how to relate as believers, as friends. Now, I mentioned this earlier. Some of all they knew before marriage is, don't have sex, don't have sex. That's all, you know, then you keep yourself like, though it's true, though it's biblical, though it's moral, but that's not all. Interestingly, when you get married, it's now, have sex, have sex. So it's like, you know, you look at, you know, almost like it's all around the same thing, but at the end of it, all of that is done and still nothing happens. And because many times, even in relating, many do not know how to have biblically taught godly relationships. So Matthew 28 verse 20, verse 18 to 20, Jesus came and spake, saying unto them, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. And we've explained that to mean in the resurrection, heaven and earth came together. That is the temple. That is God's marriage to us in Christ. So he says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, which is to teach people, cause them to be students, cause them to learn. Teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always till the very end. So we said, church is a place where you learn relationships. Not on the blog, amen? Not on those fanciful quotes you see on Twitter. Fanciful quotes. Not on the internet. Stick to what the word teaches. We said the resurrection is God's marriage, God's friendship, God's kingdom, God's nation. So therefore, we begin to learn relationships from God. See, I learn relationships from God. I learn how to relate from God. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus is God's relationship. We saw that in this, we've seen that in this, series. Amos 3:3. Amos is somewhere after 1 Corinthians. How about that? Don't say, oh, thank you, Pastor. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We looked at those two words, walk, alak, to go on the same plane, except they be agreed. And we said that word yad in the Hebrew, YAD, it means when you are united, from the word yakad. And I gave you the illustration of when I was traveling. I didn't know my way, it was a train, and I was going elsewhere, fast, enjoying the trip. But because I didn't know my way, that was not where I was going to. No matter how you like the train, no matter how you like the way they treated you, that's not where you were going to. The same way with friendships. You don't get overtly sentimental if a friendship has nothing to do with your purpose. You know, a guy said to me, he said, I don't believe in being uncomfortable with those who are uncomfortable with you. I said, I can't be your friend. You know, that's basic. He said, I don't believe that. He said, he can have two different people who are not on good terms and he can relate with the two of them perfectly. I said, I can't make you my friend. Now, this is a fellow I like, you know, but I found out that liking something doesn't mean it's good for you. And I like it. I do. But I said to him, I said, we can't be friends. I've known this fellow for years, but he made that statement. I understood his values. It means I can't be your friend. You need to treasure what I treasure. If you tell me someone is your friend who is my enemy, I showed you in first service, James 4:4, friendship with the world refers to that place ruled by Satan, is what? It's friendship with God. No, enmity. In other words, the moment you become friends with someone's enemy, you have become the person's enemy. Now, I know the word says that the enemy of my enemy, all this kind of stuff. I don't deal with all, I'm talking scripture. Friendship with the world, which is the word philia, I showed you that in the first service. P-H-I-L-I-A, which is fondness, affectionate, desire, delight, fellowship with the world, is enmity with God. Very basic. So therefore, we spoke in the first service about having values, your value shape, your friendship, and all of that. I guess this teaching series will be out this week. Can two walk together except they are united? And so we looked at friendship. And I read something someone said, and this is for those who desire marriage, no, stuff like that, to know this. And I'll read it again because it's just good to say it to you. I've edited it, but I don't think it's editable. But some things are just there. He says, relationships are not for changing people. Hard truth. They are for people who have decided that they fit well together. Okay? For changing people, no. They are for people who have decided that they fit together. Then he said, instead of making sound decisions in the choice of a partner, look at the word sound decisions. He said, women, I'm sorry, this is about women, but I don't think it's just about women, I think about everybody, but he says women, so I left his quote that way. He said, women get drunk, that's ouch, on a grand delusion that they are powerful enough to change men. I think men also have the same delusions. They choose men whose behavior they don't like, and then spend the rest of their lives trying to change them. They waste their time, and they waste their energy. The purpose of dating, which he states here, dating, I think it means we're friends, let's see whether we can be in a relationship. I think that's what it means. 3 Corinthians 7:7, something like that, but then it's okay. The purpose of dating is to see if the two of you match. If you don't, end it and go away. Don't be sentimental. Trying to change him will almost always end up in tears. Then he asks a golden question. How much of your own traits have you succeeded in changing? That you suppose you are capable of changing another person. After 3 years of implementing the tricks you read in a book, you will come back and cry. You are the idiot, and I say this lovingly. How about that for a prophecy? Okay, so we spoke about friendship. And we said the resurrection is marriage, remember that? It's also a kingdom, a nation. It's also friendship. It's also being neighbors. But I said the highest form of relationship you can have, even with siblings, even with nationals of your state, even with neighbors, the highest, even with your wife or your husband, the highest form of relationship is friendship. And so we began to look at that, and I'm just going to go over a few things I said in the first service. We said, identify, is that it? Was that the first thing I said? I mentioned this. I said, you must understand that people go through different seasons of life, primary school, secondary school, university, and all of that. And so you have to look at, how do I walk through these phases with a friend? And I gave you the illustration. I met some folks who were primary school mates. There was one of them who was a consultant in Luth. Then, that was a couple of years ago. Then he began, it was also working somehow with an HMO. So we met. And we're friends in primary school. And we're friends for not too good things. And one of them was that we were trying at one point to, we thought a guy was too fat. So we tried to make him go thin by using pins. Because we watch cartoons where you go, boom, boom. So we're friends. And we're kind of friends, you know, these girls, funny stuff like that. He, with another guy, Professor Odiete's son, I think you know, you like very well, listen. They made me do high jump. I did high jump. And so I did the first one very low. I was in Jaja House, University of Lagos Staff School. And so we're preparing for the inter-house sports. And so I said, I just finished watching the Olympics. So I said, race, hit very high. So I moved back. So I went, bum, 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 bum. Now by the time I turned my back and jumped, I didn't get close at all. I didn't even get close to the mattress. So I jumped alone on the grass and I landed on my right hand. And so I went, coo, 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 coo. Never saw that in the Olympics, but I saw it that day. So then my friend, he comes, he says, what happened? I said, my hand. He said, let me pull it for you. Her fracture. He was pulling, So they took me to the health center and I got a POP in my hand. I will never forget that. My dad was out of Lagos then. So he came back on a Saturday. It was the first day that it happened. And here I was with my POP and I'm playing football. And my dad comes back. He's a very quiet performer. I come back. He drives his Volkswagen Beetle. He parks the car. He does as he didn't see me on the pitch. He goes up and then I go, here comes out. Okay. I go and sit down. He goes in. Then he comes out when it was already Old Testament. So he comes and says, what were you doing downstairs? The funny thing is that till today, he never asked me what happened to your hand. That's true. He hasn't asked me till now. And he's never going to ask me. So he just says, you broke your hand and you're playing football. And he goes 12 basic, 24 premium. So he went to a pump, 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 pump with my hand. My grandma said, you know, and he shot up. Give me all this. So I saw this, my friend who was there when I broke my hand. And we're talking and talking and talking and talking. And at one, we got stuck. All we could discuss was primary school. And we stopped and said, so, how has it been? We're no longer friends. Do you understand? Because all we could discuss was a past that is not coming back again. He said, he's my childhood friend. What does that mean, really? Who's your childhood friend? Childhood friend. Do you know when you were a childhood? Realize that just happened. And most of those friends, you didn't really choose them. They chose you. And some of them, it was because they had something you liked. Have you ever been in primary school and, you know, somebody buys stuff and takes them on the field and then spreads it, it becomes everybody's friend? Trevor buys biscuits and all that. There's a guy like that who spent his money, bought meat pie for everybody. QSS. Is there still QSS in that? QSS. You know, I was one of the first customers of QSS. So, he bought the thing we were playing football, and he spread all the meat pie. Blah, 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 blah. We're all in the same class. The next day, the mother shows up in class. It was the money for his lesson. You know what lesson is? Lesson is a special school after school. So he brings, says, who took the man? Everybody goes on the You know, we ate the meat pie. Then he picks out only me. Why? Because I was the one doing the distribution. He said, you! Oh, no! So I just picked out every other person. You know, what a friend you are, you know. And that was it, you know. But, you know, when me and this guy met, we just couldn't talk more. Somebody that was your friend before you got born again. Or you can say, that day now, that party. You can say, the prayer meeting. You can say, I preached the gospel. You can say, I was led by the Spirit. So you don't say, childhood friend. You get it? Who were you as a child? Did you have values? Did you have a purpose? Were you born again? So don't allow that to impose itself in your present. Don't bring the past to the present. Is that clear? Is that clear? So we said that you must understand the different seasons and walk through it. Okay, so we said you choose your friends, remember? You choose your friends. So the first thing we said, identify a friend. And never do it without the Spirit of God. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? It must be done by the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit of God. So we said that. Jesus had, then I asked the question. How many of you have more than 24 hours a day? Anybody like that? So come and pray for me. How many of you have more than 60 seconds in a minute? Nobody? 60 minutes an hour. No, you have the same time. Like everybody does. Which means you have limited time. Which means you have limited resources. And you are also one person. You can only do that much. What am I trying to say? If you try to be friends with everybody, you will be friends with nobody. You will be wasted, spent, and lose all your potentials. You must choose who your friends are. Always know this. You'll just be wasted. Now you can be friendly with people. You can be tolerant with people, cordial with people, brotherly even with all believers. But you can't be friends with everybody. You can't be friends with them. Jesus had 70. Then he had 12. Then he had 3. Then he had 1. You can't say, because he's a member of my church, he's my friend. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. Jesus didn't take everybody everywhere. He didn't. It took Judas to locate where he was. Nobody amongst the 70 knew where he was. Not in the crowd. So you must choose your friends. And choose your friends by the Spirit. Who is a friend? A friend is one that you do life with and you go through life together. You do life with and you go through life together. Don't make a mistake because you started the same course. No. Because you are born of the same parents. No. Because you fought a common enemy. Stupid. Oftentimes, friendship you build out of enmity with others, though you shouldn't be enemy with anybody, all the guy becomes for you is of spite value. You know, there are people who are friends with others to spite another person. Stupid. Stupid. I had this counseling session 2010 with a lady, and I'm grateful that a divorce went through and eventually they got back together. But she told me something very simple. She said, I like this fellow. And I felt we were friends as younger folks. And then somehow we lost contact. That's what she told me the story. And then she found the guy and the guy already had someone that he was to marry. So she felt, okay, I'll marry him. I'll still find my way through. She did all she could. She had become a bad girl, but somehow she became a good girl because of love. Thank God for love. People become born again because of love. Thank God for love. And so she got serious with God, hoping that this guy will change, on the chessboard, put the king where the queen is and stuff like that. But that never happened. The guy went on and got married to the lady he was now with. Interestingly, they were never in a relationship, but she just liked him. Then she got really furious and felt, can you imagine, with all I thought I was with him, he married someone else. And then desperately, I'm desperate for you. She went after one guy and got married to him out of desperation. But not just that, to spite the other one. Ugh. So she was getting married in her mind. That was all. You think you can break up with me? I will break in with somebody else. See the point? It took less than 2 years, and they went for a divorce. Now, I got involved, not 2 years, that's 2010, that's 5 years actually. They got a divorce, and I got involved, and somehow we trusted God, prayed, and they got divorced, and then they came back again, they're married now, and even had their 2 children more. You know, some guys are just very loving. But the point is, I don't know what she's going through and how she's doing it, I'm not going to ask questions. But I'm sure that she regrets the fact that she did it to get back at someone. It's the most stupid thing you should do. Don't make friends out of spiting someone. You are going to spite yourself. And don't allow anyone make you their friend as a spite value. That's stupid. And people do it a lot. A preacher tried to be my friend to spite another friend that he didn't like. So when he got to know that, see, I've had this friend for years. We've passed through the fire and the sun. We fought each other. We've cursed each other. And we're still friends. And so he tried to come in and try to make me aspire value to the guy. When he found out I couldn't be, he got angry with me. Because I'm not going to allow you use me as a spite value. No. Don't do it. Don't make friends to get back at anyone. Don't get married to prove a point. Don't get into a relationship because someone broke up with you. Stuff like that. What does it mean to break up with you? What does it mean? Breakthrough or something? I don't know. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. And the thing about that is you're going to bring people into the world who are going to grow in that hurt. So, make sure your choices are led by the Spirit of God. Did you hear that? So I said, identify your friends, those you will go through life with. So I said, number two, partnership. And we said, computers, network, people, partner. Be careful of using computers as friends. Some of you go to Google to ask the basic question, how to cough? You know? And I read something by the FDA and then the American Medical Association or something. And they said that they discovered that a large percentage of people who have died out of diseases were because they consulted the WebMD. The WebMD tells you, where are you feeling the pain? Is it your back? 16 possible causes. One of them is death. What is in your chest? You know, that's not a real person. You go to a doctor. You understand? You know, my daughter asked me a question a couple of months back. She said, is it true that one day robots will start doing this? And I said, robots do what? I said, and then they can do this for you, do that for you. I said, robots can be human beings. Because what's in a robot was someone's intelligence put in a machine. That God made human beings to live together. And so, right now, many of us live with our phones, not with human beings. You are in the house, and you're flirting with everybody. So as you wake up, you're Pharaoh. Then somebody gets the call out of the room, and then you press your phone. You're going mad. Why are you laughing? You are going bonkers. Yeah? You're about to hit the street. God. And then, someone says, Shago, yes? You are not well. I said to you, Google can answer your questions. But Google doesn't talk back to you. Google can partner with you. Look at the joy of learning. One of the things that got me and my dad really close. Now, we used to be very close when I was young. Then we became unclose. When I got born again, got into the ministry. So we had this kind of funny fight one day. He used to make threats. Then I used to imbibe the threats. He said, leave my house. If you are going to do this, leave my house. Then I'll stay in the house. And then, you know, so one day, just one day. Now that's about me. I can roll down for you. But one day. I don't like people to see that one day. The day with the Lord. The day of the Lord. Just one day. That day. Had gone out, had meetings, and came back. So he came back before me. So he said, where did you go? Fellowship, right? Get out of my house. I said, I'm going nowhere. He looked back, he was shocked. I've never said that before. So I'm not going anywhere. What? He thought I was still joking. I took the TV, smashed it, boom, he moved back. I went down the door, My dad froze like Scarecrow. And my brother will go, come on. Yay. I can't remember.
So if you do it again,
I'm a preacher.
Someone will kill you, kill myself.
My dad went to his room, packed his things, his own house. He said, I can't stay here again. He said, that, you know. And I said, no. So, my grandmom told him, you know, try and listen to this guy. You know, he's no longer a kid. He's serving God. I just said, you support him? Then, my mom, she said, look, listen to what your son is saying. The man said, huh? Of course, my brother is going, come on, come on. So the man said, everybody's against me. He wants to leave the house. So he did eventually leave the house, but he started opening the gate for himself. He'll go out and all that. He's very petty. 2 weeks! No, 1 week. Then, one Sunday like that, I just come back from meetings, and that was very funny. I now brought the meetings to the house. Unnecessarily. So he came back and then he saw me. So he said, for the first time, he said, help me open the gate. How? That's serious. He hadn't been talking to me for a week or there. So I went to the gate. So I said, come into the car. I want to go out with you. I said, okay, hold on for me. I want to talk to those guys I left there. So I'm surprised. I go in, I get in the car. Then we drove. And he taught me to drive for the first time. And we had some of the most intimate conversations, you know, because he's teaching me to drive. Then, you know, quite a wild guy. The first place he took me to drive was Sagam Expressway. That's how he said, you learn this and you shouldn't be afraid. I'm going, I love you, Daddy. Come on, don't do this to me. I was joking. You know, but that was where we had some of the most intimate conversations. And he, you know, talked about driving, spoke about his life, his brother, and we became friends because he taught me something. And I remember before we fought, he'll bring all of us home from boarding house. He literally taught us how to do biological drawings. I mean, very intimate things that I didn't recognize that he was doing. But you know, some of these African parents, they don't know how to do it. Really, they want to communicate some of that. They're not being taught how to be friends with their kids. So he's loving you in a very hard way. Sometimes it takes you to grow up to say, oh, that's what he was trying to do. You know, and so, you know, that's it. But what if I learned it on Google? What about those moments your mom taught you to cook? My mom taught us how to, you know, pepper, remove it and all that. My mom's the kind of person that you pour oil on the floor, she'll pack it. She's not the kind of person you joke with. You know, you pour food, you waste food, my mom will pack it for you, put it in the fridge until you go eat it. Oh yeah, nobody died. But she taught you those things, basic. The first scriptures I learned to read, my mom taught me. Though with a cane, but I learned it. Taught us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Who art in heaven? That's too far. Hallowed be thy name. But she taught you. Those close things. And then your friends. You remember how you learned this from a friend. Google can't be that to you. Never let technology take away your humanity. So don't be in the house and smile only when you have cameras and frown when you see human beings. You are going mad. And so I said in the morning, early in the morning, ensure that you are partnering with friends. Computers can network human beings' partner. Is that clear? God came himself. God, in the spirit, became a man, heaven and earth, showing us how the resurrection sounds. We relate with one another. So we said you choose your friends. Your friends will be your partners. Let's move on. And then I said earlier, friends are those you share life together. And many of us love, and this is what technology is doing to you, risk-free, no commitment relationships. Risk-free, no commitment relationships. You don't have to be committed to me. You don't have to be there for me. You know, I don't have to be there for you, pardon me. I don't have to be committed to you. Just let me be able to press a button. No, 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 you can't do that. And so I told you that I did a search. Somebody actually mentioned that I did it. And I found out that there were 410 million results on Google for rent a friend. People are renting friends. People go for dates and they say, can I pay you 5K? Just stand with me like we are together. People do that. Because friendship is being destroyed by human innovations. People don't go to church now, they stay online. Then what is the ecclesiology about? If I need to stay online, that means I don't want to get around people. Some people say, well, I don't want to go to church, you know, I have to sit with people. Somebody even told me, you know, my size. So in this church, my size, you know, I can't, your chairs are too small, you know. And the guy said, well, if I sit on the chairs also, so some guys, you know, they don't have colognes. Okay, I mean, what's cologne? Perfume. So some of them will like, you know, stuff like that. So I'd rather stay home and go on the internet. You know, you're becoming crazy. I mean, you're becoming crazy. So the online method is making us go mad. I'm telling you. I've seen people in the same room chat with themselves on WhatsApp. Are you okay? What's up? What are you doing? Okay, bye. I gotta go. You know, you're going mad. How about God relating with you on WhatsApp? No, but this isn't funny. You're getting crazy. Really crazy. Someone told me how she fell in love with someone on the internet. I met the guy and then the love ruptured. And she said, Pastor, why did it happen? I said, nobody's real online. You are not real online. You put your best pictures online. Your best behavior. So the fellow went poo poo. I mean poo poo literally. So friends are those you share life with. Metoche, 2 Corinthians 6. Those you share life with. Friends are symbolized. I said there are two kinds of friendship. Remember? Parasitic relationships. Where you take and take and take. You know. I've been counseling married couples for a couple of years now. I think technically about 25 years. And God's helped me to restore marriages and relationships. And there are so many that didn't get restored. But I remember having asked people to write what they wanted in their spouse. And I asked two people to write it. And one fellow wrote a list that will beat the 613 laws of Moses. And I kind of felt, if you want this from someone, even God doesn't want it. So, you must be humorous and serious. Come on. Brilliant, intelligent, witty, and down to earth. Brilliant, down to earth. Have you been to school? Spiritual, human. Or stuff like that. Have money. A lot of money. Let me leave that out. Come on. And stuff like that. And then I said, you never said what you want to do. What kind of person you want to be? What he must do. What about what you must do? What about saying, I'm in this relationship to do this for this person? You become a parasite. A parasite. And some guys are just dating, as they call it. But they have turned their partners into calendars. What do I mean? The guy has borrowed money to please you. And you come to church and say, what's the song you just sang? I see grace about God. But nobody sees grace in you. You are demand, demand, demand. You are not yet married and the guy is paying many bride prices. He wants you to take me out to this, take me out to that, take me out to that. Interesting. You know, Before I got married, the only place we went to was a buka. I wasn't going to pretend. I don't go to, let's go to a restaurant and then, you know, go and wear our best dresses. Number one, the food is really not good. People only pretend they're nice because it's an expensive place. I know what I'm saying. If I go abroad, I mean, I was somewhere and someone say, let me take you to one, he said, South Korean restaurant. I said, I've never been to South Korea. He said, you know you will like it. I said, I won't. He said, oh, come on, sir, you like it. I said, I won't. Give me rice to follow. I born a rice to follow. I don't see, I don't use my stomach to walk in love. Give me rice, man. You get it, sir? If you're in a relationship, I won't take you out to one 5-star where we're going. I'm not going to live there. Hey, amen. Come on, guys. Let's heat where it matters. I don't like that place. Then you can't like me. We can be brothers and sisters in Christ, but that area is too far for us. You've got to be like Jesus who says, if you don't follow me, birds have nests. Come on. You get it now? Yeah. So, you must ask the question, what am I going to put in here? Parasitic or symbiotic? Friends are like those four guys in Luke 5. What about that? That is a friend. They took the paralyzed guy. They were not paralyzed. Yeah, they were friends with the paralytic. Took him to Jesus in the temple, put their reputation online. Because the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. And they came with that guy, went through the roof, brought him down. And Jesus did not see the guy's faith, he saw their faith. Those are friends. People that will carry you to Jesus. Take you to where you will be healed. Take you to where you will be blessed. Take you to where you will meet your Savior and Lord. Take you to where you meet God's purpose for your life. You know, people oftentimes, they go online to do personality profiles. Who is this guy? Let me find out who he is. What are they trying to do? Oftentimes, they're trying to find out whether someone can fit with them. But maybe you should start with yourself. What do I need to change? And don't get into a relationship in a selfish way. What I'm going to get out of this? What about saying, I'm going to be in this friendship to give and bless. I'm going to be getting married to this fellow. I'm not going to give, but I'm also going to give. I'm going to be a giver in this marriage. I'm going to be a giver in this relationship. I'm going to be a giver in this friendship. I'm going to take her. Become an undertaker eventually. In John 15:13, who is a friend? He lays down his own life. Now, the people Jesus laid down his life for, now mention their names. You have Thomas, all right? Come on. You have Peter, all right? You have James, you have John. Friends could mean some are going to deny you. Some are going to betray you. Some are going to doubt you. Some are going to run away. That happened to Jesus in testy moments, but they were still his friends. And in those moments of frailty, he strengthened them. That's why I pointed out, find out from the Spirit of God, is this my friend? That's why I told some of you, don't get it, when we started the series, don't get any conclusions yet. Just hold on. Is this my friend? You cannot separate the leading of the Spirit of God from your friendships. I've seen this before, guys, in a vision, not once nor twice, where I saw. Now, years ago, I saw this friendship, and I just became very uncomfortable. There were two folks walking in the ministry together with me, and we were being a blessing to people. But somehow, in praying, I remember I was on my bed, sat up, so I saw a vision. And I saw the other guy take this other person away, and move them away. And I kind of felt, this is strange. So, I began to pray. So I went to one of them, which maybe I won't do again today. And I said, I saw this, that this fellow is going to take you away from this ministry. And then, stupidly, went to tell the person. Stupidly. And they did that. I kind of felt the Holy Ghost didn't want them to be friends. But you know what? They didn't just leave this ministry that then in the 90s. They eventually left each other. And both of them were not in the ministry for years. And today they are not together in any ministry. Sometimes many of us get too stupid. When we're led by the Spirit, we follow our emotions. We follow our feelings. Yeah, no, being wise. So, you need to find out, who does God want me to do life with? How many of you know God is interested in who is your friend? Raise your hand if you do. Are you sure? Raise your hand, let me see. If friendship is very important with God, that means God is interested in who you do life with. God is interested in who you marry. He might not be the one to say, go for A or B and create a crisis in the body of Christ. Oh, you didn't get that? But He wants you to choose, led by His Spirit, and not be led by cameras. I told you in the morning, someone comes down and then kneels down in the cinema. Tell him to raise his hands and worship God. He brings out the ring. He says, put the ring down, lift your hands. For this cause I bow my knees. Don't say stupid yes. Have you prayed about it? No, you haven't. You become a prayer. Sorry, I heard you. Take some time and pray. Why should you pray? Don't they love you? That's why I'm going to pray. So, friends are those you lay your life down for. Thirdly, a friend is an encourager. A friend is someone who encourages. Let me change that a bit for you. How many of you like motivational speaking? I do, right? You do too, right? Remember years ago, in my class alumni association, I'm an executive, so we had this occasion we wanted to host a couple of years ago. And one of our seniors, who was a few years ahead of us, is the MD now of a multinational. So he's a senior in school. I think he was in upper six when we were from one. So one of us said, we want to bring the guy around to come and talk to us. And then somebody asked a golden question. He said, about what? He said, just come and talk to us and encourage us. He said, at our age? He said, is he bringing any package? He said, no. He said, no package? You're going to come and tell us, you can do it. Follow your desire. Friends don't tell you to follow your desire. Follow your passion, scripture and verse. If I follow my passion, maybe I won't be here right now. Friends don't do that. So some of us just like those. So the occasion came up where guys were old enough to know what we wanted. So there was a big hall for that motivational occasion, a hall of about 350 seats, and then about six people were there. I wasn't there. Because I'm thinking, what are you going to tell me? Five principles to achieve your dream. Number one, conceive it. Number two, perceive it. Number three, go for it. Said that to me when I was about to take my WAEC. But not now. I need more than that. Praise God. You know? People have been motivated to do nonsense. Fire your boss. Some are jobless because they followed that and they obeyed it. Fire your boss. You can be your own man. What makes you angry? They went to start a company with what made you angry. If I'm going to start a company, what made me angry? It will be about Chelsea. How about that? I know you guys won yesterday. I was praying hard, but you won. Those are the times you say God is sovereign. Come on, let's go. Okay, so friends are not those who tell you a lie. You are the next best thing after sliced bread. Now, friends want you to be what God wants you to be. Not a lie. A friend won't tell you you are fine where you are not. You just did the wrong thing. The friend says, it will be alright. That's not what a friend needs to tell you. The friend's going to be there for you, going to tell you, but you know what? You blew it. Come on, that's a friend, right? You blew it. Now, I remember Pastor Funke was in the university then, and we were in university together, and then she wrote our exams, she and some other folks, and I got to know that they failed one of the exams. So, but somehow, nobody told me they failed. Everybody kept saying, when the results came out, their name was not there. They didn't use the word fail. They just said, and they're wondering what happened. And they went to the dean. Their dean said, I heard all of that. Not one single person told me they failed. I'm talking about, everybody was, you know how people don't tell you the truth? They'll say, don't worry, it is well. And Christians have known to lie by saying it is well. Not everything is well. So I went straight to her house. I said, I heard you failed. She said, that was the first time. So I'm going to say, I said, so brace up. Okay? I write the next exam. The lecturer is not the issue. You failed. And see those guys? They're no longer your classmates. They're now your seniors. The ones behind, you're now behind with them, your classmates. So brace up and go to class. That was it. She's here. And Satonia is also there. So go on, go to the class. And that was just the reality. They didn't attend the class because they felt, they're juniors. But I became the friend. That's closer than a brother. You failed. Oh no. They are doctors today. Because I didn't tell them a lie. Friends get you to where God wants you to be. Encouragement doesn't mean give you sweets. See. I can be smiling with you now. And we're laughing. Then. I ask you a question. Maybe about your church. Maybe about your fellowship. And then you say, we'll talk about that later. I said, what did you just say? I can switch 360 degrees. And I go, what did you just say? No. I'm not that kind of friend. Immediately, I can move from, I love you to, are you well? That's a friend. I want you to be what God wants you to be. That's it. A friend is an encourager, but not someone who tells you a lie. If you're not looking good, the friend will say, you're not looking fine right now. Come on, go change, go change, go change. It's not that you can do it. A friend will let you build your faith in the Word of God. Sometimes, a friend like the mother eagle can throw you to the wind. You know what? Go get this done. Remember earlier in our, before we got married, so my wife, we traveled to have a meeting there at Adoekiti. So she fell ill. And so I said to her, I said, you know what, the truth is, and I said this very, was like Brother Hagin, what Brother Hagin said, I said, you know what, if you die, I marry somebody else. And I won't take long. Because you know enough not to die. If you die, it won't take me 3 months. Or less. So stick to the word right now and get healed. So I left her there to get healed. And I went away. And she came back healed. Oh yeah. Remember, Pastor Larry then came to my house. Pastor Larry and two other guys. We were two. So I brought them into the house. 2005. Was it four? Four or five. I think it's four. And so they came in. And then we were watching a preacher. So I purposely was talking about the preacher so that they can also make comments. What is he preaching? He's not the word. He's not Christ center. So when they were through, I put on the TV and said, what did you just say? He's not Christ center. I said, why did you like, did I not teach you Christ center? So we now have mouths. It was an Amatan day. So I put them outside in the Amatan to pray till the next day. Ask him. He can't forget that day. Was that a Christopher. So he learned how not to use your mouth roughly from a friend. Amen. A friend wants you to follow God. Amen. Can throw you under the bus or to the wind at times. A friend is like Jesus. He sends them out to cast out demons even when they didn't use their faith. He asks them to heal the sick, raise the dead. He hadn't done it before. That's a friend. A key thing about friendship is God's plan. If I can't find you in God's plan, I can't be your friend. And if you can't find me in God's plans, don't be my friend. If I can find you in God's plan, I like how someone broke up a relationship. It was very lovely, spiritually lovely way. She said to the guy, I looked into the future, I can't find you there. The guy says, with all we have shared together. She said, I understand that. But I'm looking into the future, my consecration to God, and what's doing with me, what's taking me to, I can't find you in the picture. And the guy went all out and came to me. And when he came to me, obviously they were in a relationship, and he was abroad, but he came back to find out the girl didn't see him again in the picture. So he comes to me because he thought we knew each other. So he said, because I spoke to the girl a lot, so he said, sir, he used to call me prophet. So he said, prophet or pro? Sir, come and talk to her for me. Her name is Amaka, actually. Talk to her for me. I said, no problem. I've been trying to call you for years to speak to God's ministry in UAE. You didn't listen to me. Now you want me to talk to her. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. So we went in his car. Lovely car. I enjoyed the ride. Went to the lady's house at, what's that? Park? No. What's that estate before in the Koyi, the one you enter? That has houses like matchboxes like this. Huh? Dolphin Estate. Good. So we got there. And then he asked me to talk to the lady. So I said, you stay outside. Let me do the talking. Okay? All right. So I went and said to her, I said, what happened? She said, I can't find him in the future. He disobeys God, and I want a future where we can obey God together. And we tried to reach him to obey God. He went there, hired a ministry, dumped the ministry to face a career, make money, and forgot the ministry. I can't find him in my future. I said, good girl. So I went back and said, how is he? I said, very good, let's go. So he was the one that taught me the song, you are the love of my life. You are, he was singing that song. I said, you need that song, girl. Come on, keep singing it. Hope that I cling to you, me more than this world to me. Won't dread you. See, that was how I learned the song. So he dropped me home. I didn't tell him anything till now. I said, just go. Everything will be fine. Everything has been fine. Lady's still in ministry. As I speak to you, she's in Jamaica, you know, doing the work of ministry. He's somewhere. He's a DJ. She saw it right. Okay, come on, that's it. I can't find you in the future. So simple. So friends are those that encourage me to do the will of God. Because John 15:13-15, a friend must be the one who knows what God is telling me. A friend must be the one said, you are not servants, a servant doesn't know what his master does. You are friends with us, I tell you what I do. And God bless you for you to become friends with those who can destroy God's plans for you when they know it. Now I have friends today that we get to talk to each other. And sometimes we don't see physically sometimes for days, months, weeks. But we get to talk on the phone because of distance and work. But we get to remind ourselves the things we said when no one knew our names. Remember, this was what you said. Oh yeah, I remember. Remember, this was what you said. And then we seek to that. This is what God told you. And sometimes we pray and get to call each other and say, well, I was praying and the Lord said I should share this with you. So that's friends. I should know what God wants you to do. Paul knew 1 Timothy 1:18, 1 Timothy 4:14, 2 Timothy 1:6, what God called Timothy to do. If you are my friend, you should be able to tell me, hey, this is what we do. The pastors in this ministry, we're friends. I called them one time. I said, well, this is what God's telling me. And I think I'm getting it wrong. And I said, God said we shouldn't do this again. As I told them today, I said, keep me in check if I try to go off what I just told you. That's what I told them. I said, because it's so easy to, I'm human. Sometimes I like things that God doesn't want me to do. You know? I like some, God doesn't like it. God, can you like it? Taste it.
You know you are too spiritual. God, come on, taste this thing. It looks good. But you have people around you say, that was not what you said. And they remind you what God asks you to do. Now I always ask the pastors, I say, what's the Lord laying on your heart? Let me know. And I share it with them too. We meet every week and I share with them, sometimes like that. I just share with them what the Lord asks me to tell them. And we're praying. Just sometimes it's not something I share on the pulpit. Amen. Just within ourselves. Sometimes I call them one-on-one because we're going to be friends. And I'm saying, well, this is what God is telling me. This is what we're going to do. Friends keep you in check. Friends tell you, You know. Friends also know him there. They have God talk to you through them. How about that? God talks to you through them. Had a friend like that. Hadn't seen him for months because of school. So, another friend I saw, he said, well, TJ has gone to do politics. What? He's now the president of TISA, Technological Students Association. I said, what? That's friend. So I walked to his room. He's looking at me. He just called me, Good Shepherd. That was my nickname. Say, Good Shepherd. So there's nothing good here. So he said, what's going on? I said, you? He said, I just had to try it out. I said, you are crazy. Try one out. You made me pray 24 hours. I fasted 40 days. You want to do politics? Go punish you. And that's how you talk to friends. Go punish you. And he knows you mean well. Punish. He said, I know where you come. The one is too hard. I'm your friend. And I said, yeah, I'm your friend. What am I going to do now? You're going to resign. Say, Shegun. Did you hear me? You are going to resign. Or I'm going to come upon you publicly. And he knows that I can do that. That's what friends do. Say, why are you taking that job? Now, he's not saying it because he doesn't want to have a new car. Why are you taking that job? You told me God asked you to stay in Enugu. That job is in Port Harcourt. Where it's not far. No, brother. That's not what you told me. God told you. And we have prayed about this together. We fasted about this together. And you are not about to disobey God. Can I have an amen here? So, that's a friend. They encourage you. That's why guys online, you see, let me just continue this. God's plan, therefore, is vital in friendships. My friends, therefore, I tell you today, my friends are responsible for. That's why when I talk about my friends, I have friends that developed over the years, and the closest I have, and this is very emotional for me, passed on at different times many years ago. And I'm always grateful because I remember I was in the ministry preaching, quoting scriptures, believing I was going to do crusades, till a friend told me to my face, you are preaching nonsense. And he sat me down. Where at the, if you know the alumni center, University of Ibadan, right, and there was a garden in front. He said, you preach rubbish. Never heard that before. I used to quote scriptures, people like me, and a friend tells me, you are saying nonsense. So he brought out an E.W. Kenyon book. I said, this Kenyon, I read this guy in 1990, I didn't like him. He said, because you are a zero man. I said, But I knew Larry liked me. I knew he loved me. I've seen him do it. I once walked into him praying for me. How about those moments? And it's a moment I can't forget. I just walked in. He was praying in his room. He didn't know I was coming. And he was praying for me. He didn't know I walked, so I walked back. And I said, wow, what a friend. So when he told me that, he gave me first book he gave me, Two Kinds of Righteousness. So go read it. Give me Two Kinds of Faith. He said, stop preaching for now. Hey, why? Why can't be preaching for me? I said, no.
as a friend. So I can always point to friends at those critical moments of my life and ministry. I was talking to Brother Tokes the other day, and which I spoke about a note that he had. He wrote that note in 1995. And I said, I have those notes now. He said, oh, those are my notes that I took from so-and-so church. He said, I do. He said, but I gave Larry. I said, he gave me. He said, you must be very close to him. He said, yes, I was. So that's friendship. My friends have helped my teaching ministry, my ministry. Friends, therefore, are people you need to stay in the will of God for your life. They're not guys that will always be chummy with you all the time, but they're going to encourage you to do what God has called you to do. Let me see your hand if you're feeling what I'm saying here. Come on. So, number one, identify your friends, partner with friends, and also be an encourager in friendship. Friendship also requires an authentic love walk. Real love. Hear me well. Nollywood doesn't have love. It's the Bible that has love. And I've seen something trending right now. It's called self-love. Love yourself. You're getting demonic every day. There's no love yourself in the Bible. It's love as I have loved you. Self-love is demonic and selfish. Loving others as God has loved them in Christ is Bible love. Greater love has no man than to lay his life for his friends. Don't allow culture to color your love. Let the covenant of God's love be how you see love. Love is forgiving. Now, let me mention this. This is very vital. You know, sometimes we can start viewing love within our personality traits. Some guys are just like that. They're always smiling. Some guys are always smiling and they never oppose anything. I know people like that. And some women fall into the trap. Remember one guy like that. He's never upset. Like Pinocchio, just. He's always a good guy. Good guy. Hello. How are you? I'm your friend. But I said, he doesn't disagree. He doesn't raise his voice. If Fanny Roussis is coming. Yeah. You've been deceived. Love has to be authentic. Don't have make-believe love. Make-believe. A man told me this, and I was stunned. He said, I don't love my wife, but to give her all she wanted will give me peace. So I got her the kind of house she wanted. Listen carefully. I got her, that was years ago before DSTV became popular. I got her a satellite, C-SPAN. No C-SPAN? I didn't know C-SPAN. Got her a satellite. Boy, you have a disk engineering. You know that. C-SPAN. I got her servants, stewards, everything. So that she could leave me alone. She said, so all I do is I come back when she's asleep. I leave before she wakes up. I go to see the kids at school. Wow. I would have thought getting you all you want materially is love. No, sometimes it's just to please your selfishness. And there are people who have got into marriage from a materialistic point of view to know that love is costly, but not because of money. Love is costly, but it's not because of money. There's friendship that has nothing to do with money. Even though where friendship doesn't spend money, you have to be careful. So you need to be careful not to begin to view love in your culture, how you're raised, the background, you know, stuff like that. No. Some guys they're just nice guys. Doesn't mean they're walking in love. They're just nice guys. They always put up a smile. They dress all good. They go, how are you? They open the door for a lady. Ladies first.
come inside. I like that. He's a perfect gentleman. I like that lady. She's a sweetheart. So I said, how are you today?
How you today?
And so you have a selfish inclination. Oh my God. What a cool guy. You know why? Sometimes I know when guys are pretending. Because I went to a boys only school. You know, in boys only, we are boys. Boys are the boys. God, of course, you know, nobody's trying to pose for you in school. Something happens. The very next building or next compound is Queen School. As soon as those girls start coming, boys start to behave. I'm telling you the truth. Boys evening, how about, come on. So we often say that the guys that dress the best, that dress the most, are looking for girls. That's a word of knowledge. He just goes, but when the button now, he goes, hey, you can wear your shirt anyhow, can do anything anyhow. Going for football games. I used to be a football fan. We're going to wearing the bus, we're singing songs. GCI shine. I'm screaming. We're shouting. One day they gave us, I think, 8-0, Olivet Baptist. Coming back. So, one guy, he's trying to blow, you know, Yerekwe. What's Yerekwe? I don't know. That thing that gets you to school. Was trying to blow it on our opponent, the thing blew back into the school bus. Cheesy boys. Whenever we're going for debates, and boys start to talk their shirts, then they have ghetto. You know, get up. There you go. As soon as we're back in the bus. So don't be carried away. That may just be tempting love. Like the way you catch fish. You know, you always give a fish what he wants. Because you want the fish. Did I say that? Yeah. So wait. Love is demanding. It's forgiving. Jesus says 70 times 70. How about that? That's not really the kind of love you want. 70 times 70. He's not trying to tell you to count it. He's only saying always forgive. Love is merciful, long-suffering, patient. Have you tried to read 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 8, especially in the Amplified Translation? That is authentic. Love is forgiving, doesn't think evil. Love is not suspicious, always checking your phone. Love is not, No, that's not love. Love believes the best of every person. Thinks no evil. Love is patient, love endures, goes through all that. What about putting 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 to 8 in your bathroom? You know, bathrooms are where we're very personal. What's found that out? You know? You have it there. As you're having your bath, love is forgiving. Forgiving John. Love is patient with Jane. Love is kind to Bola. Love does not think evil of Kule, you know. Oh yeah. So you need to see love is merciful. Love is also confrontational sometimes. It can be engaging. Love is not hypocrisy. Love can be confrontational. Jesus asked his friends in John 6. He's honest with all of them. He teaches them the word. In verse 67, many of them didn't go with him. He just left. Then he turned to the 12. And always learn to turn to your 12. What are you still doing here? That's what he asked them. Would you go? Because you shouldn't pretend what your purpose is. He had to confront them with who he was. If you don't like what I do, we can't be friends. If you don't believe in my kind of ministry, we can't be friends. If you don't like what God has called me to do, we just can't be friends. I'm getting married. How's it going to work? Don't patch it up. He said, what are you guys still doing here? Peter said, to whom shall we go? You told us to abandon everything. It's not at this point we're going to go anywhere else, something like that. But to whom shall we go? You alone has the words of eternal life. Love, therefore, is active. Love can prune. John 15. Jesus says, hey, you are the branches. He said, when the Father wants to have fruit, what does he do? He prunes. John 15 verse 2. He purges it that it might be fruitful. Look up, everybody. Do you know all of us, how many of you know that every time we see a weed in the house, we like to quickly prune it? Am I right? Come on, we like to cut it down. But nobody wants to be caught. Nobody wants to be that branch. But if you're going to have good friendship, there must be pruning. Times you're going to come on. Sweetheart, husband and wife, sit up, come on. Remember, Gloria Copeland said this about Kenneth Copeland said about Gloria Copeland. And they were going through some difficult times in ministry. He said, Brother Copeland will be complaining in the house, and Gloria Copeland said, just one day, just went to the husband. Like this, you know. And laid hands on him. Satan, kill him! A wife and a husband. Yeah. So you're walking with the devil. That's not how we learn the word. So let's go. So they left town for about 2 weeks to go pray, study the word. So this is what we know to do. When you have friends with people, you look them eyeball to eyeball. What's this about your new kind of dressing? Your skirts are coming up. You weren't like that before. Your skirts are coming up. Now you're wearing more bat suits to church. Come on. You got your cleavage out! Cleavage is between the breasts. Literally speaking. That's a friend. A friend tells you to your face. You can't be doing that. You blew the lead in public. You threw and you were pop, pop, remove your clothes. You get back to your friend and says, you were crazy. You ought not to do that. Friends prune you. Friends say something like, oh, foolish Galatians. How about that for a friend? Oh, fools and slow of heart. Luke 24, 25. That's what a friend tells to a friend. Oh, fools and slow of heart. You can't talk to me anyhow. No, friends can talk to you the truth. They confront you in love. A friend can ask you like Jesus, where's your faith? He's the one sleeping. And they're crying out genuinely, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know we're going to end it? See my life! I'm finished! I die! Ah! You know, you say, ah, cool down now. Don't worry. Jesus prayed, said, peace be still. Then he says, what's wrong with you? Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? Where's your faith? In other words, a friend will spot you when you're in worry. That's what a friend does. Love, authentic love walk. Friend spots you when you're in worry. Friend locates you when you're out of faith. Hallelujah. How many of you know, really, even though that's what you need, well, you don't really like it. Come on, raise your hand if you know. Come on. Why are you pretending in church? Come on. It's what you need, but you don't like it. You just want to just say, I understand. And the guy says, I don't. Come on, get the word into your heart. I told you, get the word into your heart. So we're going to pray about it. So what we're going to do. I don't like it.
That's what I need. Friends are brutally in love with you. They confront you. Watch this now. Friends who say, Peter, you're walking in the water. Peter, hey, bid me to come, Lord. Keep coming. It's his best friend, right? And he's coming. Walking in miracles. What's that song again? Your spirit in me, your power working me. Oh, I'm a better, I am supernatural. It's resurrection power. And he's singing it. And then, as he's singing it, so, I say, yeah? Oh, no. This life is serious, oh. There's trouble, oh. Jesus gets him out of it. He doesn't say, but you tried. Is why did you doubt? That's a friend. You there? Friend will want your church, your ministry to do what God has called you to do. A friend will say, ah, but brother, you have, your fellowship isn't doing well. Why? What's going on? You don't have to be like that. I haven't seen you with disciples in a while. One day I sat down with my friends, 1998. We just finished a camp meeting and I looked them in the eye. I said, we had a camp meeting and I wasn't the head of the ministry, but I were friends. And I said, we had a meeting and less than 10%, you are the president of the ministry, less than 10% of the population of the meeting came from you. I said, you didn't bring anybody. You didn't bring anybody. They looked at me and said, Shagu, why are you talking like this? Are you in the law court? I said, no. I'm only telling you the truth. I need to see people believing and following you. One of them came out and said, that was true friendship. The meeting was very successful. But we had to tell ourselves the truth when we're together. Friends will place demands on you. Are you following this? Jesus believed in Peter, but he told him the truth. He told him what he had to do. You know, what about a friend saying to you, get behind me, Satan? Well, you don't like that in friendship. And he was genuinely concerned. That's what Peter said. Be far from you. It's what happened in Jesus' name. The friend said, get behind me, Satan. Brutal love. If you will follow me, if we're going to do life together, you must take up your cross and follow me. Let me see how you follow what I'm saying here. That's friendship. Friends tell friends the truth. You've not been praying well. Notice that when you're praying, you're using your phone. You're backsliding. You're backflipping. Or you're backtracking. Or you're even dead. If in those days, this is what we used to tell ourselves as friends. Emoji, you are dead. That's the way we used to converse. Oti dead. Say, what did I do now? What did you do? You are asking. You are zeroing all over the place. What did you just say? I heard what you preached. Emoji, what's going on? I think you are only mad or something. Friends. Foolish. Stupid. The Greek there says you're stupid. Friends tell friends you're stupid. Though, in these days, please change how you say it. We had Philemon and Paul. If you are my buddy, then there's Onesimus. Philemon, Paul starts the way we say, Philemon, I've had a good report about you. And I don't cease to pray for you. Philemon is going, thank you, friend. That you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Thank you, friend. Thank you, friend. That person of your faith may become a friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. I know you're such a beautiful friend. He's telling Philemon that. And then say, I've seen about your charity for all the people. Thank you. Thank you. That you love the church. Oh, thank you. I know you always encourage me. But there's an issue we want to talk about, right? What issue is that? There's one issue like that, you know. You know Onesimus? Do you know Onesimus? Oh, you know him. Yeah, Onesimus. You know, one guy, very dirty guy. If I get him, he said, well, you know, when I was in prison and you didn't come? Oh, yeah, he came.
Was he in prison too? No. He's born again now. And what you ought to do, he has done it. Okay, you get that? So he is now a son. But don't worry. I need him right now with me in ministry, you know, because you are not here, he's here. So he's very useful for me. But then somehow, I want to send him to you. He's now your brother. Treat him like I treat him. If he has owed you anything, come on, that's friendship. Put it to my account. Friends are people you do that for. If he has done anything for you, I did it. As Philemon is trying to pray in tongues about it, Paul says, don't forget you owe me your life. And Paul puts him in a fix. He said, I trust you that you are going to do it. I told you, it's the book that represents the love of God in Christ without mentioning it. You gotta do it. You have to. When a friend is a friend, then his friend is your friend. That's why you have to choose who your friends are. That they don't have terrible friends. So you have to treat them right. So friendship demands, what did I say? Come on, raise your voice. Come on, raise your voice. Friendship demands. Demands you be loyal. Demands you be committed. Do you know the punishment for runaway slaves? Have you found out what it was? I taught you before, we have a series on it. It's death. Paul is saying, rather than kill him, kill me. That's what Jesus has done. That's the love as I have loved. Put it to my account. It means, I mean, you have seen this happen many times when maybe your dad wants to flog you in Nigeria now, come on, wants to flog you, and your grandmother stays there. Like, kill me, kill me, kill me. Your grandmom stays there. And your dad says, you are spoiling these children. But something has just happened. She has just done what Jesus did and what Paul asked Philemon to do. Come on, let me see your hand. Friends do that for friends. When I'm your friend, I don't need to ask you too many questions. I'm going to stand there for you. I'm just your friend. So that's why I have to be careful who my friends are. Always learn that, you know, Peter was like Jesus' best friend. But Peter wasn't really a good, good guy like that. He wasn't the kind of guy that a you need like 100 level student girl asks a question. Hey, I thought I saw you in fellowship. Me? Fellowship, what's that? He denies. Peter is the guy who talks too quickly. You are the Christ of the living God. Be far from you. He talks quickly. But he is Jesus' friend. I'm going to show you something that got my attention. When Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus goes to see Peter privately. Go check Luke's account and Matthew's account. He sees Peter privately. But something strange is we don't know what they discussed. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5, Paul says he appeared to Cephas first. It's part of the facts of the gospel. Peter first. You are Peter. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Matthew 16. That's what friends are. Friends bond so well with you that people may not even know what you've discussed. Peter didn't tell us. Maybe there are any sermons. We don't know. But it's just the way it is in friendship. How many of you know the love of God is not your personality? You know that? For me, I like to come on, cool down. The love of God is not what you like to do. The love of God is what you must do. And so sometimes we pick people to marry for what we like. He's humorous, he's intelligent, he's brilliant, suave, he's lovely, he's this, he's that. And you like everything. Handsome, beautiful, sings very well. People easily fall in love with those who lead worship. That's the most stupid thing I know.
It's a very stupid thing.
Oh, Jesus.
You think the lady is thinking, I love you, guy. It's a very stupid thing. A guy fell in love with a woman who came to sing in a church I used to be youth pastor in the 90s. And the guy went to meet the woman straight away, and said, the God, Lord told me you are my wife. She sang really well, really. She had to be someone's wife. And the lady said, no problem, let's go see Reverend Dow. And they went to see Reverend Dow. I said, Reverend, tell this young man who I am. You are the Reverend so-and-so. How many kids do I have? 5. Where's my first son? He just graduated. And the guy is looking. You know, are you like people because of how they preach? You need to see them when they are not preaching. You like people because of how they sing? You need to see them when they are not singing. Or you be in the house and you're just thinking, I love you. What am I going to eat? Rice is in my voice. Meat is in my voice for you. Oh! Come on, be real! Praise God! A friend is a real human being. Are you there? Love doesn't look like it doesn't fit your personality. It has to be Bible love, not self love. You learning something? We must. Friends are people you caution. Jesus had many. Beware to his friends. You don't allow your friends go astray. Beware of false prophets. Beware of this. Beware of that. Friends are those that you sometimes can have a vision for. You share with them. God told me to tell you this. As a friend. Friends who stand with you in trouble. Yeah. Told you about tough love. Something Dr. Davina did one day that stuck, that got me torn. We're having Bible school, so Reverend Davina's wife, Dr. Rachel, wasn't feeling too good. You know, that was obvious. She's been stressed, working, and all of that. So she also take a class, so I was trying to make it work, and I said, Doctor, don't worry, let her take the next class. She said, no. And I understood that. Just want to meet her, honey, your class is next. Now, when she saw me, she went, you know, and I felt, all right, listen. Yeah, honey, the sweet way, your class. Look, I said, prelate, she go do arm. You know, that's something. And then she went and she did it. They've been Christians together for many years. He knows love can be tough. Brother Hagin had his wife had a heart problem. And he said, Aretha, you know what to do, right? If you die, I'll marry someone else. And I'm going to take just 6 months to marry someone else. So don't die. She had no sense, took his teachings, and said, you give me some time out. She stayed at home, listened to the teachings of her husband. You know, sometimes you say, my husband is speaking. Stay there. She listened, and she went to the doctor, and they said she had a brand new heart. That's tough. A friend wants you to get healed by the word now. That's what a friend does. Tough love. You learning something? Friends can fumble. We said that friends can, they can drop the ball once in a while, but friends can also repent. Did you notice something at the Passover table when Jesus said, one of you will betray me? All of them asked, Lord, is it I? I read that part again and I stopped. It meant that we all have the tendency to betray our friends. They knew they all had the tendency. When you have to do it your way. Everyone said, Lord, is it I? So, you have a responsibility
to keep your friendships. Don't betray your friends. We'll check a bit of that on Wednesday. Have you ever wondered, why did Judas betray Jesus? How many of you know, there's no one that has the answers. Jesus didn't tell us, but he said, it would have been better if he wasn't born. Was it the money? I doubt it. Maybe, I'm thinking, maybe you think with me, maybe because he was disappointed. That after they had walked with Jesus, looking forward to a kingdom, he says he's going to die. Maybe. Or maybe, like they requested, someone on my right, someone on my left, he didn't grant it to them. But I think along the line, he got disappointed. Sometimes our friends can disappoint us. But that is not the basis to betray friends. Maybe. I'm not sure. So, a friend, sometimes, just like Peter, he denied Jesus. But what's the difference between Peter and Judas? I kind of figured it out. Judas never publicly admitted he was wrong to anybody. He died, committed suicide, because he couldn't face what he had done wrongly. Peter wasn't like that. Peter didn't just get restored. Don't forget, Jesus warned Peter, right? Just like we share our friends. Well, hey friend, be careful. I've been speaking to Satan for the past 6 days. He's going to get you. Oh, master! You know, some of them are very stupid. Hey, don't worry. I'm what the world says I am. You're not well. Jesus tells you, Peter, Satan is coming after you. You are making mouth. Lord, what do I do? Should be the next question. But he failed. But you know what? Peter denied Jesus 3 times, even the cock knew. Coo, 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 coo. But you know what? How did we know the story? Peter told us. He's honest about his failings. That's a true friend. A friend that can look at you and say, I was wrong. Right? That's Judas. He died. Killed himself, couldn't face the consequences. But here's Peter. He, one, publicly admitted he was wrong. Cried. Look, there are 2 kinds of repentance. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, there's a repentance that leads to death. What he had in mind was Judas. There's one that leads to life. Peter. He cried. He still went amongst the 11. He never broke fellowship with the rest. That was why it wasn't difficult to restore him. Friends that can't admit they are wrong shouldn't be your friend. I love friends that can say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was wrong. That's not proper. And hey, fathers, hear me, mothers, hear me very, very well. It's absolutely ridiculous for you not to say, I'm sorry to your children. The annoying part of it is they know you were wrong. That's the annoying part. You know, one day like that, I told my dad, I said, why can't you say sorry? You say, you know, an African, you know. I said, quit that African stuff. You've been wrong since I was a child and I saw it. He said, you know, I'm a king. I said, so? Do kings tell lies? He said, no. What made you wrong? So for the first time, he said, I am sorry. So good. I accept it. I tell my kids, I'm sorry. For the first time, I beat my daughter. Never done it before. And that day, you know, my daughter's just, she could be like me. She says, I'm not going to do it. Said, I'm your dad. Do it. Said, I'm not going to do it. Oh my God. Ah! Yeah! I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Pastor. So I went, she looks at me. She never seen me like that. She's surprised. So she cried in shock. And I moved away. No. I remember how my dad used to do it, so I did it again. Less than 30 minutes. Say, you were wrong. And I went and I said, you know what? I was wrong. She said, I was wrong too. I was never crying.
Sorry, daddy. Sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't do that. Even if I want to smack you, I shouldn't do it in anger. Because when you beat people in anger, they're angry. So I said, well, sorry. Last minute. Praise God. Say, I'm sorry. Daddy, you said this. Don't say so. One day, you know, I was talking to my daughter, my wife was there, and we're having this conversation. And she said, why should I do it? She's asking the question. And then my wife says, I can't even say that to my parents. I said, your parents, even if they were born again, they don't have the light you have now. You have to accept that she has her reasons. What are your reasons? We had that long conversation. She gave her reasons. I talked scripture. She said, that's my problem, daddy. You are always acting mature. She said that to me. All mature, talking scripture. Let me say my own. I said, okay, go ahead, say your own. Say your own, okay, fine. But your own is wrong. And so we went into details. I said, but you know this is what I do for you too. I said, yeah, you're right. It was about a friend of ours. I said, go there for and apologize. And pick the phone and reconcile. I said, I've forgiven her, she said. I said, nope. You're forgiven. You can't forgive someone you can't talk to. She said, you're right. What if I say I forgive you and I don't talk to you? She said, I'll feel bad. And that's how your friend is feeling. Thank you, daddy. Call. And then that was it. You know, I didn't have to say, you must be your friend. I'm your father. Whoever I say should be your friend, should be your friend. That's my own dad, but that's not God. Amen. Are you there? Always understand that. You know, I found something out. I don't know whether you have seen it. Patience does things better than anger. Have you discovered that anytime you are a bit slower, you think you are smarter, eventually? Sir, I didn't know I was this intelligent. You are not saying you are only patient. Sometimes, and whenever you do things quickly and anger, your ego will not want you to admit it, then you start doing one wrong after the other. So just be patient. Sometimes, don't react immediately. Just wait. My dad used to say that, if you wait till tomorrow, the earth will not come to an end. Will it come to an end? I would say no. So, but I need it now, now, now. He said, there's nothing called now, now, now. Say, even Jesus said he's coming now, he has not come. That's what he used to tell me. So, you learn his army? A friend is, can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Do you have friends that can't pray with you? 1 hour! Yeah, go. Friends must pray with you. Can't you watch with me for 1 hour? Came to them. It was vital. Watch and pray. Friends do that. Let me begin to close. And I want to say this to many of us. And I think I wrote this down specially. Okay, let me go back to Peter again. You are able to say publicly I was wrong. I'm sorry. Peter didn't hide it. And Peter did not stay away. Friends also don't have a sense of entitlement. You know, some guys are like that. And many of you have destroyed relationships. Now, I was led by the Spirit of God to say this. I heard this from Pastor Chris Oyakhilome years ago. And I remember that day I went to my room and I cried. And I'm going to share that with you. A couple of days ago, I was traveling. Usually, I study, I sleep. One of the two. Once in a while, I get to watch stuff. Usually, I watch historical movies. Sometimes, I watch commentaries. But this time around, I watched Cristiano Ronaldo. I watched like three. I like the guy personally, apart from his football. So, I watched this part of the documentary. There was one he did with Piers Morgan. And this is very emotional for me. And he got to a point, because he talked about his life off football. So, they now, personally said, how's your dad and you? He said, myself and my dad didn't get along. I liked him. I wish he saw me do well, all of that. Then Piers Morgan said, there's a video we have that you have never seen before of what your dad said about you. And you know,
wow.
He watched it. And his dad said, I'm very proud of him. Something he never told him to his face. He said, I'm so proud of him. So proud of what he has become. despite how I treated him and how he was. I'm so glad at what he's doing. Then Ronaldo began to cry. And I remember how, you know, my dad's uncle shared the same thing with me after he died. He said, your dad said this about you. Something he never told me. Treat your friends well. And when my uncle told me, I cried. You see, there's a spirit of witchcraft that makes us value what we lose. It's wrong. Value people now. In Africa, we do a lot of parties when people die. They will write tributes. How are they going to read it? Who needs it? That's showmanship. What did you tell the person when he was around? Sometimes you lose people that others value. Then you feel bad. Learn to tell people how valuable they are to you. And show it. The spirit of witchcraft makes us spend so much for people when they are dead than when they were alive. My uncle said to my dad said to my uncle, he said, the only person, said, I used to think my elder brother treated me the best in this world. And then a friend of mine in school said, but I found out the person that loved me the most in this world was my son. That meant a lot to me. It's always good to appreciate people. It's good. You know, I talk about my friends in the past. Many of you don't know what it means. I don't think you know. When you have to say, they were. No. Value your friends. Value them. Be there. Don't allow that spirit of witchcraft in Africa to start saying great things when people are no more. Say it now. Say it today. And the people here, this is not about death. The people who lose friends because they didn't value them. Salvation is eternal, but friendship isn't. Judas lost the friendship with Jesus because he didn't value him. If you don't value friends, you lose them. And someone else is going to have them. And there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. Value your friends. Pray for them. Watch over them. Keep your friends. Anyone God has led you to, keep them. Keep them. So it's work. Relationship, marriage, it's work. You have to work. You have to forgive. You have to be there. You have to give. You have to create time. Don't just use phones. Don't let phones take the place of human beings. Ask them questions. Be there. Don't be demanding. Be a giver in your relationships. Amen. I'll continue here on Wednesday. You learn something?